are Locked On Dynasty Football, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Welcome to the Locked On Dynasty Football Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell. You can follow me on Twitter at RyanMC23. Joining me, as always, is Matt Williamson. Find Matt on Twitter at WilliamsonNFL. How's it going today, Matt?
It's going great. My team, the Steelers, are going to open camp at the end of the week, as are the Cowboys, because they're the two Hall of Fame teams. So football is very close.
So close. Yeah, I think we're basically just a week from all camps being open. And like you said, a couple teams will open earlier. We are, what, Matt, less than 3 weeks from the Hall of Fame game, I think? I believe that's correct.
Yeah, it's much less than that. I'm sitting here early Maybe August, it's 2 weeks. I think. It is 2 weeks. I'm pulling up my calendar as we speak because I am doing a radio show from up there at the end of the month, or at the beginning of August. So, yeah, it'll be very soon. I'm doing Hall of Fame shows on the 7th, so that'll be 2 weeks away, give or take.
Well, it is because of that schedule that we are covering some training camp battles. I know Marcus and Kate took care of the quarterback position yesterday, looked at some training camp battles at that position. We're going to talk about running backs today. We'll have the wide receivers tomorrow, and Kate and Marcus will finish up later this week with the tight end position. So it'll feel a little bit more like a redraft show, but of course, in your dynasty leagues, there's no more important season than this current season we're in. So paying attention to those camp battles is obviously very important for dynasty players as well. And we'll hit on a little dynasty spin for each position also. Matt, we've got a bunch of training camp battles at the running back position, so let's jump right in. Let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals. In some ways, this is a battle that you're familiar with because it's James Conner, who you watched so closely for years when he was with the Steelers. And it's James Conner versus Chase Edmonds. Of course, Chase Edmonds, the player that the Cardinals drafted. They signed James Conner this year after letting Kenyon Drake walk. So they're back to having two relevant running backs. I mean, we kind of know the story with James Conner here, and it's all mainly involving injuries, unfortunately. He had a quad and an ankle injury last year, cost him a couple of games total. 2019, missed six games, another quad injury, a shoulder injury. So it's been a rough time for James Conner. He actually revealed that he also suffered a toe injury this offseason in an accident and had to have surgery for that. So this guy just can't stay healthy. He's 26 years old, still relatively young, but there just doesn't seem to be much hope for James Conner from a fantasy standpoint, despite his success in past seasons. How do you see this camp battle unfolding?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's gaining a little bit of momentum in the redraft community because he's so cheap, you know, that he's a zero RB target or things like that. Right. And he's a quality player, and I think there's a really good chance he could start the season in Arizona being productive and being fantasy viable and the short yardage back, and he's not bad in the passing game. He's good in protection. I just think that, at best, he's splitting time, and I think Edmonds fits what they want to do better as well, because I think you're going to see a lot of four receivers, and Edmonds is more the space player than Conner is. So I think Conner starts out as the two change of pace, short yardage guy, but I doubt that lasts. I have no faith in him to stay healthy.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't either. Chase Edmonds was actually really good in the pass game last year himself, despite splitting time with Kenyon Drake, who's a solid pass catcher himself. Edmonds was seventh in the league among running backs in targets, seventh in receptions, and sixth with over 400 yards. So pretty impressive there. As I was getting ready for the show this week, I wanted to get our listeners involved as well. I put up a series of polls asking which player would score more fantasy points in 2021 between all of the players that we'll talk about today in these camp battles. Chase Edmonds versus James Conner, it was pretty overwhelming. 68% of the people chose Chase Edmonds. That's kind of how I feel about it. From a dynasty standpoint, I think Chase Edmonds is actually a value. He's RB30 in our latest ADP, and James Conner just a few spots behind that at RB39. From a dynasty standpoint, I certainly want Chase Edmonds, but even on that short-term redraft point of view, I want Edmonds as well.
Yeah, just big picture, it wouldn't shock me, though, if the Cardinals used a pretty high pick on a back this upcoming draft.
Good point. That was the other thing I wanted to mention. Both of these players, Edmonds and James Conner, unrestricted free agents after the 2021 season. We already saw them let Kenyon Drake walk. They've invested heavily, obviously, at the quarterback position, at wide receiver as well. Using a day one or day two pick on a running back could be the next step next season. Let's move on to the Buffalo Bills. And along with trying to identify maybe who's going to be the most productive player, the most valuable, who's the target from a dynasty standpoint, I think some of these situations are simply going to be committee backfields that there is no clear winner. That might be what we have here in Buffalo. Devin Singletary, Zach Moss. Feels like Moss is the player that everybody wants coming off a pretty solid season, but it was actually Singletary who was more productive last year. And Moss had that injury at the end of the season that required ankle surgery. He's not all the way back reportedly from that. So how do you see the Buffalo backfield going? And is it really just Josh Allen that we want here and not these guys?
I'm on the Moss train. I think, saw so many of these rookies, running backs have a hard time acclimating the league, being trusted in protection. I think Moss had an early injury, from what I recall. I'm sure Allen's not going to stop running, and this goes for Lamar Jackson too. But I often say, when the Buffalo and Baltimore owners give Allen and Lamar all this money they're about to, might that come with a stipend for the coach saying, let's run them a little less, or can Moss be the goal line back instead of Allen? I do think they want to run the ball more than they did. Moss is really good in protection. I think he's a better probably receiving back than Singletary. I'm not a Singletary fan. I've been targeting Moss in the offseason.
Yeah, you're not alone. I mentioned those polls I put up on Twitter. It was overwhelming. 79% of respondents chose Zach Moss to be the more productive Bills running back. Again, they're relatively close in dynasty ADP. Zach Moss, RB34, Singletary, RB43. It just feels like there's such a ceiling for Singletary. He's fine, but he's never going to be great. Even last year, coming in as that young player, as not the starter, Zach Moss got more work in the red zone and was more productive there as well. So I could see that turning. Also, assuming he gets healthy, fully healthy, and over this ankle injury. Matt, when we come back, we will continue our training camp battle series with a few more running backs.
First, let me tell you about Bet Online. Bet Online is the easiest and fastest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action as well. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs for the playoff. Head to the website or use your mobile device, very easy, to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus. 50%. You're going to use our Locked On promo code, Locked On, all one word, all caps, 50% welcome bonus when you use the promo code Locked On. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, Matt, we're back. We're continuing to talk about running back battles as training camp is just days away at this point. Let's move over to the Denver Broncos. And in some ways, this is an easy one from that dynasty standpoint. We know we want Javonte Williams over Melvin Gordon. The Broncos brought in drafted the rookie. He's already the RB19 in our dynasty ADP. And Gordon, as a result of the addition of Williams, has taken a major hit way down at RB38. Last year was Gordon's least productive season since his rookie season, just over 13 fantasy points per game. The Broncos also added Mike Boone, so it's not just Williams that he's competing with. And the beat writers have been all over this one, projecting Javonte Williams to lead the team in carries. And some have even suggested that Gordon might not even make this final roster. He could potentially be cut. What's happening in Denver?
Yeah, I mean, Williams is the guy to own in Dynasty. I mean, that goes without saying. I think you laid that out really well. Gordon, in both redraft and especially Dynasty, is dirt cheap. I mean, I did that startup a couple weeks ago. I got him extremely late, and I had no intentions of targeting him. I'm like, this guy is still good. I mean, he's not – I don't think he's washed by any means. I do think there's a chance – maybe he ends up in Miami or, you know, whoever loses a back in the preseason. I would think Denver's the first call. So you mentioned he could get cut. I think there's a better chance he gets traded to a team that needs him. And I think Gordon owners would love that. But I think Gordon, at least at the beginning of the year, is probably the top guy in Denver. I kind of hate to say it. I mean, I think Williams will gradually take that role, but I don't think it'll happen immediately.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point that Gordon, whether he's cut or traded or just plays out this season and becomes a free agent after the 2021 season, he still has potential to get a job, right? He may not be totally done yet. Ultimately, who do you think scores more fantasy points from this Denver backfield in 2021?
As a Bronco, Williams. And if Gordon stays there the whole time, I'll say Williams. But it might take a while.
Yeah. Again, the majority agrees with you. 70% choosing Williams over Melvin Gordon. I like Javonte Williams. He just feels like one of those league winner type backs you can draft in redraft leagues. I picked him up in the Scott Fish Bowl. I think he was my running back 4 in that league, actually. So, you know, if a guy like him hits, that's a 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th round pick, then things are going well for you, certainly. Let's move over and talk about the Houston Texans, which is something we generally try to avoid doing. This is this is a pretty ugly camp battle, but we got David Johnson. You know, as many, I guess, negative things as you can say about Johnson, there he did have over 1,000 yards from scrimmage last year on that Houston team, which had some troubles, not quite as many troubles maybe as they have right now, but a solid season as a 28-year-old. Now he's 29. They bring in Philip Lindsay. They also bring in Mark Ingram and Rex Burkhead. Like we've said it all offseason. What is this team doing? Their moves, for the most part, haven't really made sense. But I think primarily here we've got a DJ versus Philip Lindsay battle. Like we mentioned with a couple of other players, I think that was the Cardinals, both Johnson and Lindsay are free agents following this year as well. So not only are we looking short-term, the Texans are looking short-term with these two players. Also, as you might expect, pretty cheap, very cheap actually in Dynasty. Johnson is RB49, Lindsay is RB56. I think this is the one where I'm going against the crowd, against the grain, and I think I'd just rather have Philip Lindsay this year.
Okay, we don't disagree very often. I think Johnson's still the much better all-around back. I thought he had some good stretches with Houston yet last year. I think he's somebody I actually kind of want on my fantasy team, not Dynasty so much. I mean, he's good in protection, especially as a receiver. I don't think he's washed. I think he's similar to Gordon in that he should get quite a few touches in both the run and pass game. They're going to be losing a lot. I mean, it's easy to kind of laugh at the Texans, like you mentioned, but I think Johnson and Brandon Cooks are values in redraft right now.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on Brandon Cooks. I think a value in redraft and dynasty. Of course, the real concern here that many have pointed out is just how good are the Texans going to be. Their coaching staff came out recently and said they wanted to call more plays, more running plays this year. They were 31st in rushing attempts last year, 31st in rushing yards last year. But for a team that I think it's safe to assume they're going to be trailing early and often and by a lot,
yeah,
how much are they going to get to run the ball? Both Lindsey and David Johnson can do some work in the pass game as well, so that will be there. But, it's just going to be an ugly situation. And again, it's pretty obvious. David Johnson, Philip Lindsay, Mark Ingram, Rex Burkhead, we don't really want any of these guys in Dynasty. None of them are long-term fits. But Lindsay is the youngest, 26 years old, and started his career with back-to-back 1,000-yard rushing seasons before the Broncos brought in Melvin Gordon. So maybe a little meat on the bone left there long-term, but certainly not much.
Yeah.
Matt, let's move over to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Probably the most interesting camp battle and certainly the most high-profile. These two running backs are probably the most valuable two of anybody we'll talk about today. Travis Etienne, the rookie that the Jags selected in the first round, and James Robinson, their undrafted free agent rookie from a season ago who popped up with 1,000-plus yard season, really one of the best rookie seasons we've ever seen from an undrafted free agent. But that didn't stop them from using that day one pick on Travis Etienne. Since the draft, there's been a lot of talk about how Etienne will be used. Maybe he's working as a wide receiver, and both of these guys are on the field at the same time. I don't know how much I believe that. They also brought in Carlos Hyde, who's a reliable veteran. How do you see the Jags' backfield working this season?
Yeah, I think it's going to become more and more clear that Etienne is the guy to own. Robinson had a fine year, don't get me wrong. And is a fine player. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not bashing him, but this staff has no ties to him. He's not a special specimen. I would have to go back and look, but I wonder how much of his yardage on the ground were coming against really light boxes when Jacksonville was getting beat bad and things like that. I think ATN's just much more talented, much more accomplished in the passing game. And it might be a Kamara-like role, but we know that can work. I mean, I think ATN's being undervalued right now in redraft.
Yeah, I do as well. Both of those guys, 22 years old. ETN is the RB18 in Dynasty. James Robinson, RB29. Feels like both of those guys are a value to me, actually, at those prices.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't own any of Robinson and don't plan on it.
Yeah. Yeah. 60% of the community, according to my Twitter poll, expects Travis Etienne to be the top scorer between these two. And one other note, I believe it was the offensive coordinator for Jacksonville suggested that the entire offense, even with the addition of Trevor Lawrence, the entire offense could run through that running game. Kind of sounds like what you say in June and July, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with that Jags backfield. Certainly Etienne, the guy you want in Dynasty, obviously. Matt, after the break, we'll finish up with two more camp battles to watch over the next few weeks.
All right, let me take a chance here. You know, a little time out to talk about rockauto.com. They've been a really good friend of the Locked On Network now for a long time, and they do amazing work. And with all the increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car, truck, whatever, at a traditional chain storefront. It just makes no sense. So a lot of you do a lot of work on your cars, and it makes a lot of sense financially, or it's a hobby, or whatever.
you got to check out rockauto.com because their prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do, for example. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything you're looking for. Their catalog's extremely easy to navigate. See all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specs, prices you prefer. I mentioned that the prices are always reliably low and same for professionals as they are for you guys. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? So here's what you do. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their how did you hear about us box. They know that we sent you. That's Locked On, two words. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Matt, we've got two more camp battles I want to look at. First, San Francisco. They've got the veteran Raheem Mostert, who has been a great story over the past couple seasons when he's been on the field. He is 29 years old. He'll be a free agent following this season. And they draft Trey Sermon on day two. The 22-year-old rookie immediately started gaining value when he landed in San Francisco on draft weekend. He's the RB23 in Dynasty ADP. Mostert took a hit as expected and down at RB37. I really want both of these guys. Of course, Sermon is the play in Dynasty, but I think Mostert has fallen too far in the redraft leagues I've tracked.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of his game, and I don't mean to compare him to Connor in terms of durability, but he's right up there with Connor for backs I trust the least to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. His age, he runs very aggressively, you know, sees that hole and 0-60 and just attacks it and isn't the biggest, takes a lot of hits. But I want him for the first month of the year.
Yeah, when he's on the field, we want him, right?
Right,
it's just that question of how often is that going to happen?
I mean, I'll start him in week one.
Yeah. Yeah, the community, I was kind of surprised. You know, certainly it looked like we had a little bit of rookie fever with Javonte Williams and Travis Etienne winning those polls pretty easily. A little more measured here, quite a bit more measured, actually. Raheem Mostert, 59% of the votes in that head-to-head question on Twitter. Trey Sermon, 41%.
Yeah, I thought people would be Sermon happy on that one.
Yeah, I did as well. Last one we'll look at today, last camp battle, the Buccaneers. Another one that's kind of ugly, and in a lot of ways I don't think fantasy players even want to pick a side. It's Ronald Jones, still just 23 years old. That number shocked me, honestly. And Leonard Fournette, 26 years old, who they brought in last year and really thrived, especially in the postseason. This team also added Giovanni Bernard this offseason, so that addition worries me a little bit from a pass-catching standpoint. We especially saw Fournette put up some big numbers thanks to PPR scoring. I don't know if he's going to have that opportunity with Gio around this year. The community went with Rojo here, 60% choosing Ronald Jones over Leonard Fournette. That's another one I disagree with. I want Fournette. I just simply think he's a better player. And honestly, I've never seen Ronald Jones do anything that really impressed me and made me think he could be a dynasty asset or even that short-term redraft asset.
I was shocked he was as young as you said, too. It seems like he's been around forever, and I feel like I know the book on him already. And again, he's a guy I own zero shares of and probably never will. My take, though, is I think you're going to see a lot of hot hand, whoever had the better game the week before. I lean towards Fournette over Jones. But Gio Bernard's one of my absolute favorite late round targets because I think he's going to be James White and really just monopolize the passing game details. And you're right, Fournette has caught a lot more passes than Jones and is a much better receiver than Jones, who's awful. But he's never been a route runner. It's been a Jags are losing bad, dump it to Fournette. And, you know, right. Bernard's going to be a Brady-friendly, movable guy, route runner. I think Bernard's the guy to own. And if it's assuming it's PPR, I'm going to take him as the guy that ends up with the most fantasy points this year.
Oh, wow. So you're taking Gio over the other two, huh?
I just think they're going to vulture each other a lot, and Gio will have the only one that has a set role.
Yeah, that makes sense. A lot of people have compared Gio, of course, to James White, who was a Brady favorite for years in New England, which I think that comparison makes sense. But the weird thing is we haven't seen Gio's value spike in redraft. I wouldn't expect it to change much in Dynasty, even when White was catching all those passes. It's not like he was ever worth a lot in trade, or we never saw his ADP get out of hand or anything like that. But even in redraft, Gio seems to be a forgotten man. So I don't know if I would go as far as to agree with you that he'll be the leading scorer of that backfield, but I definitely think he's being undervalued right now.
Yeah, I mean, the problem, obviously, that I didn't mention with Bernard is how many times is he going to find the end zone? You know, that's probably not going to happen a lot. Right.
Sure. And he's another one that needs to stay on the field and stay healthy as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's it for today's show. Please make sure you download and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Remember to follow the show at Locked On Dynasty. Follow Matt at Williamson NFL. And I'm Ryan, MC23. We'll be back next time with more Locked On Dynasty.